Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me, I have Dr. Cole Galloway, Ed Samuel, and Dr. Wayne Buchanan. Today, I would like to talk about what is psychological safety and how do we create it? Wayne, can you kick us off?
Sure. My immediate reaction is to go all the way down to the foundations of psychological safety being, and this is the fun part. Do you frame it positively or negatively, right? Are we talking about what's unsafe or talking about what is safe? So I'm going to try and stay on the positive side. Recognizing that you are valued for your existence is kind of that foundational. We're not, and here's where we go negative, you're not being alienated for things that are out of your control.
Yeah, I'll jump in real quick and just say that when Wayne talks about space, as a developmental psychologist, I think of everybody as a baby. So you're all 400-month-olds. And we need those same kinds of things. We literally need spaces that recognize who we are. And we need social environments that appreciate and amplify us. And how you do that in a commodified capitalistic framework, I'm really interested to hear what Ed and others would talk about in terms of coaching and how do you get that? Because that's really hard. I can value Wayne as a person, but when he goes off track in his performance, big, little, and I'm not talking about negative, but just he goes his own way, his own diverse way. How do I recognize that but without creating constraints on that? I think that's a new question.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of people putting a safety net around them. And part of the safety net is actually going to a coach or going to resources when you need some help. You know, there, many times people come to me almost weekly. I'm in a toxic work environment. This is even before COVID. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, you know, I don't know what to do. I have a boss that's out of control, slamming their fist on the table, intimidating me through power, through influence. Mm-hmm. And instead of it bringing out the very best in me, I'm shutting down. And I'm a big fan of making sure that, you know, keep resources around you. And some of the resources could be a career coach, could be a life coach. It could be somebody that specializes in mental health. It could be somebody like Stanley Green, who I'm a good friend with, who does resilience training. And I'm a big fan of having those resources. And in my 30-year corporate career, I promise you, I had none of those resources. I didn't even think that way. I just took it on the chin and just thought it's probably why I have no hair.
Well, piggybacking on that, I personally had nothing to think about with Robin's question yet again, because who I am, how I live my life, how I'm perceived in terms of cisgendered, white, higher resourced, blah, blah, blah. I have never really considered the fact that I could be entering in a workspace in which my psychological safety and security was at all challenged. Yet another blind spot for us. So I'd like to hear from other people, like how folks like me that are not going to feel that in this privileged way, what's my role? Like, because I feel psychologically safe all the time. People defer to me. I'm probably creating a bad state, not even perceiving it.
So one thing that I do when I work with clients to try and help create psychological safety is to actually talk about it. And the way I say to my clients is, you cannot be too anything when you're talking to me. You can't dream too big. You can't be too broken. There's no too, because if someone is too something, that means there's a judgment. Someone is judging them in some way. And so I tell my clients, no judgment. You can't be too anything. It's not a thing. And so I would invite you to consider, if you're trying to create psychological safety, where are you judging people? Where are you saying they're too much or they're too big or their voice is too wrong or whatever? Because I know for me, I feel psychologically safe when I feel like I can speak up without having to worry about how I'm going to be perceived. How much am I editing what I'm saying? That's how I determine whether I'm psychologically safe or not.
Yeah. So I have two different things going on in my head at the moment. One is, how do those of us who have the privilege use it? And I'm finding myself more and more aligning with communities where I am not a part of the community, but I'm an ally. And my number one task there is always to listen. And the more I listen before I try and act and just be there, then the better any of the actions I take are at supporting the folks that I'm wanting to align with and ally with. The flip side is thinking about individual, what can we do as an individual to make psychological safety versus what can we do at a cultural systemic within a company, within the community to make people safe. And those are two very different directions.
So, yeah, I wanted to add that one of the things that I really love to do is help people do what's known as authentic interviewing. And authentic interviewing is where we ask our clients to go through some assessments to really identify their personality strengths. And when you're interviewing, you want to let people know very candidly what your strengths are and do it in a way where if that means they don't hire you, they don't hire you. Mm-hmm. One of the travesties that happens in corporate America and really in small America and everything in between is when somebody gets hired and you weren't articulating your strengths and the employer wasn't asking the right questions. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, you're in a job where instead of someone leaning on the best of who you are, they're leaning on your weakest part of you. Mm-hmm. So what you've done is indirectly, you've taken the net away from you and you had control of it right from the beginning.
So taking some of the control for your own psychological safety, I think that that's a really good, a key point is that not everyone else gets to control. I mean, certainly the environment controls some of whether you feel safe, but you can also put yourself in a place where you can feel safe as well.
I work in disability justice and I'm currently temporarily able-bodied. So I'm the furthest away probably on the call from the people you're trying to help, quote unquote. And then my favorite t-shirt is stop caring. And it's that idea of like, just don't come into people you're not and blow over that. And I found very late in my career, community organizing principles, like out of University of Michigan, some free courses that everybody really should take because we're all trying to help a diverse group. And as Wayne and Ed have said, you got to recognize it, be authentic. Who does that professionally? Community organizers, especially in justice. There's a lot of really interesting, accessible information to mix in with your coaching, mix in with your daily interpersonal. Boy, I've fundamentally changed the way I interact.
And I do feel like in today's world, there seems to be kind of a dichotomy. There's the people who are trying to create safety and make room for other people. And then the people who are desperately trying to take it away and calling people who want psychological safety snowflakes. And I feel like that dichotomy is not creating a super healthy environment for anyone. So how do we do a better job of articulating that and making it better?
Open your mouth as a bullhorn for the community that you've understood and listened to. I play this back and listen to what these guys are saying.
And I think going back to the toxic work environments, I speak on this often. Why do companies allow toxic leaders in their organizations? That's because chances are they're making money and the money becomes more important than creating a safe place for their employees to work. Right. And I just scratch my head and I say, and now look at the great resignation that we're going through, the great resignation that's occurring. Some of it's occurring because those places have been toxic all along. COVID is just facilitating the fact and the remote work is just facilitating the fact people want to leave. And a lot of times they're leaving is because of that toxic boss. And there's horrible bosses and there's people kind of halfway in between. And there's one early signs of bad bosses coming in. So I think corporate America and really has a responsibility to create better leaders and to train them so that we actually worry about people's mental health at work. And it's not just something private that, you know, you go down and see the company nurse.
Yeah,
way bigger than that.
Yeah. Put that in that job ad, right? Put that up front that you need this many years of experience in management. You need this, this, and this. And we as an employer are looking for someone that can help us push the psychological safety, diversity, equity issues. Man, that's a job ad that I think resonates with so many people.
I would love to start seeing companies consider psychological safety and listen to people when they say they're not psychologically safe. So that is our 10 minutes. I'm going to have to cut our conversation off there. Thank you so much for having it with me. And I look forward to doing it again with you all very soon.
Thanks, Dr. Robin.
Thanks.